The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
We hear things in the deep, dark night. We see things in the shadows, in the corners of our eyes. In mind and dim light, we sense things when they just aren't right. Our dealings are not with human flesh and bone, but rather with an essence that defies even the basic laws of nature, like space and time. These elusive selves challenge our logical minds, forcing us to take faith in the unseen, the unsubstantiated. We cling to theory, statistical inevitability, and the imminent manifestation of mystery. Brought to you by WKTV, I'm one of your ghost hosts, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. Dialogue with the dead.
Oh. I was like, wow, that this sounds familiar. So wild.
Yeah. Yeah, we know this author. She's going to be on the show. So first, let's check in with our co-host, zooming from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, everybody. It's Tanya Geyer-Seger.
Hey.
Kim.
Hi, I'm Kim Colleen, tuning in tonight from Holland, Michigan.
Kim's been with us from the beginning, and so has Brandon.
Yep. Brandon Jose of Jose Paranormal History Productions YouTube channel.
Now, on the back cover of this book, it says, one of the other mediums had expressed concern about something they'd seen. They felt it was evil. I'd like to talk about that before the day's over, but let's just check in with Exie. She's been busy, so we'll check in. I know she did a ghost hunt over on the Edson, the Great Ghost in Bay City.
I did. Oh, I love that ship. Yeah, the USS Edson, Bay City. If you haven't been there, you've got to go there. It is just, it's incredible. And I brought a sailor home with me, apparently. So there's a whole nother story there.
Oh, nice.
trust me, in the shower, I wish I had. You know, it's like he may be dead, but he's not dead. It's one of those scenarios. Yeah.
Oh, no.
All bad. Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
But it is, she's gorgeous. The ship is gorgeous. It's huge. So, you know, you can't believe it. And so I spent the night for the first time. So that was an experience.
So you build it as Axie, Suzanne, Bruce Smith. You added Bruce in there. And you did that with a couple of our friends, Mama Mary Bassett, and who else?
Kristen Roberts.
Who is a medium.
She is very talented and a good friend. And so the three of us did it. And we held a gallery first. And the gallery was insane because we picked up so many shipmates. We couldn't get past the ship. It was like it was its own force field. So finally, I pulled up this incredibly strong woman, and it was one of the women there. It was her mother-in-law. And she goes, oh, of course. She goes, leave it to my mother-in-law to come through, you know? And she kind of described her as a battleship of her own. So I was like, oh, so we've got a little naval thing going here. Laughed kind of hard at that. And then we just started the investigation, and I finally caved at about 1:30 in the morning, and I was like, I'm done. People hunted all night. There was a couple of guys there. They were so much fun, had great equipment, great attitudes, and they had to be to work at 4 a.m. So they stayed up all night. And then I put some donuts out and I'm like, take all you want, take a whole thing. I don't care. Be safe. And it was just so much fun. You really go support it. It's a museum. It needs love and people. And
now, it was a little hard probably to go in cold because the story is pretty well known about the ghosts that are haunting the ship. One of the former employees. Did you run into that guy who he likes to pinch women and stuff? I guess
he didn't touch anybody, which was great. We came up out of a room that's called 9/11 room for a reason. So we came up out of that. Two friends of mine were staying in the room to the left. And I thought they were playing with us because we heard, hello. And it was like, there was three of us. One of them was one of the people that helps maintain the ship too. And we all looked around and he goes, I know that voice. And there was nobody around. We looked high and low. And it was the guy that maintained the ship. And it was him. We were standing in the spot where he had a fatal heart attack and died. And incidentally, then fell down those stairs and was at the bottom when they found him. But it was crazy because I was like, really? We hadn't even started. Everybody hadn't even arrived. And they're tuning up. It's fabulous.
Sounds like fun. Yeah, we had Mary on the show. So we talked about it before it happened. Brandon thought maybe he might go over because he's been on a couple haunted ships. He talked about it.
I wasn't able to do it because sign up happened. My grandfather was having some health issues, so I didn't end up going. But I was considering it. But
yeah, I think that might have been fun. Now, I said last time I saw you, actually, was at the farewell show. And then I found out you had this new book out. And so I said, well, I guess I got to come back. So here I am from hiatus. I did get the article written on you.
Thank you.
I got that
much
out. So that was real good.
That
and
was
I
very
said
nice.
You had lived in it. Oh, thank you. And you had lived an enchanted life. And I thought, and I credited the journaling to probably getting you started on writing the books. Is that true? The journaling that you did when you're young?
The journaling helped me stay sane because this was, I mean, like Tanya, she isn't going to understand that the time because it was before you were born probably. So I'm dealing with this in the mid 60s and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's thinking about it. There's a few random head shops, which, you know, they're not talking about it. They're doing other things. And you'd go to the libraries or you'd go anywhere and they only promoted this through Halloween. There was nothing. So I knew when I had my first experience that morning when I woke up, I knew this was my secret and I had to keep this for as long as I needed to. And who knew it was going to be 40 years.
Right.
You know, civilization is a little slow on things. It is what it is. But I woke up and I was like, my aunt had bought me these cute little books, journals. One had a lock and key and one was just this neat little gnome book. And I thought, I'm going to have the lock and key just because it's that kind of secret. And I wrote everything down that had happened. I filled that journal and like 50 more before I ever did anything with them. My husband moved them into our house that we're still in. And he said, are you going to do anything with these things? You need to, you know, you could help somebody. So that was when, back in 2012, I did the first Welcome to My Paranormal Life.
I would admit, I was definitely I was born well after the 60s, but even growing up in the 80s and the 90s, there still was nothing. I mean, it was still not a mainstream thing until like, when John Edwards finally had his show and Sylvia Brown finally came out and it was like, but kids and young adults growing up or even older people was like, what do we do with this gift? Because it was still, I know in the 80s, it was still considered taboo.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, the problem is it's happening.
Exactly. And in the mid-60s, I'd have been hospitalized. I'd have been drugged. I'd have been seeing all kinds of psychs. And I didn't want to do that. And they told me, you don't want to do this yet. It's not time. And I knew I needed to grow into it. For me now, I mean, I've been turned down for TV so many times because of this. I'm too old. They don't want to see old faces. And that's fine. That's fine. I'm, you know, whatever. I now have the experience and I can share. And that's the biggest, that's my biggest thing I can give. And my gift to people. I'm mentoring a 9-year-old right now who is a medium and he's on the spectrum. He's got a little autism going too. So he's really confused. And it is that I'm full goosebumped out on just even talking about him. And I've got a woman now that she's just engaged and she's in her early 20s. And she goes, I want to understand this. And but I can't close. And I don't know what it means to be closed or open. And so I'm starting this whole new journey with these young people. And it is so happy. It makes my heart just kind of like, yeah, hell yeah. Let's take the fear from them that we felt, that Tanya, you probably felt too, because you couldn't talk about it.
I was terrified. I mean, I remember night terrors, just screaming in the middle of the night. And my mom would not know what to do with me because she's like, there's nothing I can do. It just, all she could do is just hold me. I don't know if this happened for you, but like for me, all she could do is just hold me until I came down. And because there was nothing she could think of or say to bring me down. And I realized though, when it's coming from a night terror or something like that, all you can do is just be there and make them feel safe. And that's why I told my mom, I said, when my cousins are like, if anybody else, my nephews or any of them started having situations, I said, mom, just keep telling them you're safe until their mental capacity can come back.
Yep. Perfect. I mean, that's really perfect. And that's what I tell people. I don't know how many books I've just given away to parents that come to my tables at events. They've paid to come in because they want to talk to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I wish, you know, I should put out somewhere that it's just, I don't charge to just talk to me for mentoring, for whatever. That's free because that's the way it should be.
That's how I am. That's how I am.
You know, at least as far as I'm concerned, I don't charge to cleanse a house. I don't for anything because you need to be safe. Mm-hmm. So I'll just look at them and I go, okay, read this. If you think it's appropriate, read it with your child then. And I say, you know what? They're of you. You raised them. They're honest children. Believe what they're telling you. Even though you may not be able to grasp it, try. Jump out of that, go off your mat, come out of your circle and know there is more than we can perceive. There's more than I can perceive. I mean, I know when I first started all this, I knew there was like 6 or 8 levels of feeling and a vibration. I'm like in the 20s now. 24 is my highest level of vibration that I've been feeling. And that gives me a tense headache. And I go to sleep immediately because it just takes the sugar right out of my body. So we're building, we're working, we're doing. And it's like, I'm pushing myself for other people because we need to know this. Mm-hmm. How many mediums, have shorter lives?
Your books are incredibly detailed. I think maybe it's because of all that journaling you did. You mentioned Welcome to My Paranormal Life. You mentioned this book, your first book.
That's my baby.
And then, or Brandon, maybe you could click to speaker a second. We pick these up better. And then your second book, I think I have them in order. When the Dead Come Calling is your second book.
Yep, that's right.
And then the third book, The Essence of Death, right here. But then this most recent one, I don't know, this might be the my favorite cover, and the titles are all just great.
Thank you.
Dialogue with the Dead. Now, this cover, this cover was done by someone who's, I think, relatively famous, right? Dave Schwartz did this cover.
I contacted him. I was in Florida, and I knew the book was getting close, and I knew I needed cover work. And so it was like February of 2020. And, you know, nobody's doing much. It's COVID. So I was like, oh, well, I contacted Shatan because she tossed something out. She said, I'd be happy to do something up for you. So I had all these people. He sent me that cover and I was like, oh, I mean, owls came into me as a totem. So I was sending all these people notes. I'm like, thank you so much for putting the work into it. I really appreciate it. But man, this one just hit me like, like the tortilla challenge, you know? It was just like, boom. So I had to go with him. I really had to go with him. And he was so kind and so sweet. And I told him, I said, you are too cheap.
He's a far out dude. He does a totally psychedelic art. And he does comic books. He does a comic book series he works on. But he's into magic mushrooms.
We had some good conversation. Yeah, I told him he should have been in Colorado in the 80s for that. And we laughed pretty hard. But a great guy.
Yeah, the best,
extremely
best fun. Titles and the best covers, I swear. Right. And I see you're billed as a best selling author. What's how they're billing you now?
Well, it sold around the world, the first book. Amazon used to keep a globe. And now they don't even keep a map. Then they went to a map of the United States and you could see where your book sold. It was really cool. I loved it. So my book sold and went through the UK, went through, sold in Russia, sold around. And then it sold Japan and Australia. And then it sold on an island and it wasn't Hawaii, it was near Hawaii. And then it jumped and sold in San Francisco. And I was like, oh my God, I just sold around the world. I saw, and it was like a copy here and a copy here and a copy here. I don't care. It's sold around the world. So best selling. So I looked up the term and New York Times has their own term. Everybody has their own term for what is a bestseller. And so I grouped them all together and made my own. And I'm like, I'm an international best-selling author because I sold around the world. So yes. I'm like, prove me wrong. I didn't care. I was like, oh, whatever. And because everybody has their own term for it, I was like, all right.
Brandon's ordered the book. Brandon, did you get it yet?
Yeah, I got the three books. I'm on a dialogue with the dead. I got about halfway through. I had just received them, so I didn't have a chance to get all the way through it yet.
Dialogue is an interesting one because it should have been two books. And my editor wanted me to make it two books. And I was like, no. So because my life changed radically in the middle of that book. So it was almost two books. But it would have been way shorter than even the last book, which should have been another 10 pages longer, and I'm not sure what happened. It's called Amazon editing. I don't know.
We've heard some of these stories through interviews. We've heard some of these stories that are in this book. You have an interesting device that you use in the middle of chapters. You'll do hashtag, 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 and that has a certain meaning.
There's certain like the asterisk, like on 8, that has always had a thing for me. I've always loved that. Hashtags too. And it was the most bizarre thing when I found out what they really mean. And I can't tell you now because life has moved on.
Do that when you're changing, you're talking about the same thing or something, or you're changing subjects
And somebody told me
same subject, it's a different story.
But somebody told me once hashtags have a meaning, and I had an editor try to get me to dump them, and I was like, you're about three books too late. No. And I'm as hell not going back and editing again. Because if you ever try to load a book on Amazon, you'll either drink or you need somebody to do it for you. It's not easy.
One of the interesting things I ran into in this new book was golems, spelled G-O-L-E-M-S. And I don't know if we've ever talked about golems on the show before. Brandon, you're probably familiar with them, aren't you?
It's kind of from like Jewish folklore, of like creating out of either, usually it's like clay or metal, and writing a word on the head to create it as like to kind of to do the creator's bidding. And like, it doesn't go away to like erase the word off the forehead or whatever.
I figured Brandon would know.
And if you love Lord of the Rings.
Have you guys heard of that, you girls?
No, I haven't.
Do you ever watch Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Gollum.
Oh, it's in there.
Yeah, and it really is. And it was, my aunt was Jewish. And so, I mean, we were Lutheran. She was Catholic, married a guy, became Jewish. So it was just this whole conversational thing. And I went through with her. But these things that I saw, I researched and kind of dove into this. I rabbit holed these things for like a day. It was too much. I had a great time though. And came up with the word golem. And I was like, no kidding. Because I am a huge Lord of the Rings freak. Mm-hmm. And when it was, I was like, yep, there we go. There we go. So then I went on that and I took off with that for, gosh, like a full day. But they were very much Gollum-esque.
Yeah, that's weird. That's just weird. You said when you run into darker spirits, then you break out the Palo Santo wood, the sacred Palo Santo wood is what you use when you come across something like that.
I do.
How about this quote? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I do because it works for me. It doesn't work for everybody. And everybody's got their own little combos of stuff that they use. But I also have my crystals, and I'll use, if I have holy water, I'll use it. But if I don't, I like olive oil. It's of the earth. It's pure.
They don't like it either.
Huh?
They don't like it either.
No, they do not. And I found it works really for me just as well. And if I'm in somebody's home and they've got natural wood, I'd rather use oil than water because I don't want to destroy their stuff. And I tell them, you know, later, just kind of massage it into whatever, and it covers. It comes from Mother Earth. She's intensely strong. And
I love that you help people out with this smudging and families that are distressed, and you don't charge them for smudging. And you mentioned that there was somebody didn't want you to use the sage. Oh. So you had to do a smudging without using sage.
I had no idea what the hell I was going to do. I'm in this house. It is 5,000 square feet. It's a massive house on a lake near us. And obviously they've got a lot of money. It's a beautiful house. They'd had it redone. And so I'm in there and I'm like, okay. So I'm asking my guides. So I'm like, all right, what am I going to do? And they're like, use your senses. Because I didn't even have sage spray at the time. I could have used spray, which I found later. And so I just used my senses, and it boiled down to a man that was in the house. He was trying to communicate with the female homeowner, freaking her right out. So this multi-million dollar house, because she lives on this big lake off this golf course, and she lives by some of the Pistons basketball players, so that'll tell you the caliber of the amount of money that was in this neighborhood. I was like driving around. I was surprised I didn't hit a tree. So I talked to this entity, and it wanted to talk to her. Well, she didn't get it. She was freaking out. They spent a weekend in this house, this $2 million house or whatever it was, and went back to the old house. I was like, are you kidding me? And she's so finally it comes out this thing, this gentleman, from two generations ago, was trying to communicate to her. He was of the land. These were old apple orchards. They used to own the orchard, and he wanted to go home, but he didn't know how. And he was there and he felt trapped. So we opened a vortex in the one room. I finally got him in this basement room. It was a guest bedroom. And he still wasn't going. And I said, I looked, because his wife's up there, his two children are up there. And all of a sudden this head of this dog peeks over the edge of this vortex. And I said, your dog's there. This guy was gone in a heartbeat. I was like, oh, he goes for it. And the wife goes, it's okay. I know he loved the dog more than me. And I am laughing, and the homeowner's gone, what's so funny? And so I was like, oh, sorry. You know, so I clued her in, told her all about it, informed her that she is a medium. She's partially open. She's an empath. She wanted all of it closed. Oh. So I sealed her and I said, if you ever have a change of heart, I left open intuition for her, because everybody needs intuition. The good, the bad, the, you know, I'm going to walk into a dark alley. I don't care. No, you need intuition. You need to know that's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And then I sealed everything off and I said, if you so choose, because I'm not God. This is up to you. Let me know. I can either teach you how to blend it into your life, which would be really nice. She was just, no. So I was like, okay. So I talked to her. That was a few years ago. So I talked to her about a year ago. I was thinking about her and the phone rang and I went, oh God, I hate it when I do that. So there she is, you know? And she said, everything's wonderful. Thank you so much. She wanted to know if he was safe and happy. I was like, oh, so cute. So he is, he's happy. He's got his dog.
That's how do you open a vortex, Exie?
I didn't. It was open, but I can. Oh. You just open a tornado. You just open a void.
And you do it with your mind. Mm-hmm. You obviously do it with your mind.
Yeah. So you can either do that or you can bring down white light, which is God light. And so I dropped that into the room.
Yep.
And that kind of created a vortex. So I'm looking at the top and this lady's looking at me like, what the hell are you looking at? Because I'm looking at the bedroom ceiling, according to her, you know. I was like, oh, well, there's his wife and his daughter and his son. And whoop, there's the dog. Man, he was just.
Yeah, so when you look into a vortex, can you see actually people's faces, or do you just feel the presence of that person, like the dog? Can you see the dog, or you just feel a presence?
Both.
Really?
I see their faces at the top.
Okay.
I'm assuming is, so for me, that's heaven.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, I don't know what it is for other people. And so I leave that open for them for interpretation. And yeah. It's just cool and it's so bright and it's that beautiful, it's like Michigan sky blue above them. And it's just there and it smells good and it feels good. The pressure is lighter. It makes you want to step into it, which is like, it's not my time, but
yeah,
boy, you know, because it's just clean and fresh and there.
So, You like to call on Michael, the archangel, and you're smudging. Tanya, do you smudge?
Yes.
Do you use white sage?
I use white sage. My favorite is any kind of sage that's Native American blessed. If I can get my hands on it, and I know a couple of Native Americans, I will usually have them bless it before I use it.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Brandon doesn't like the smell of the sage either, so... I would wonder, it would get so smoky when I was in the smoke detectors were going to go off. The alarms go off in places.
I will admit, I'm not a huge fan of the smell, but after, you know, you start using it, you don't even smell it after a while.
And I do have the sacred Palo Santo, and I call down white light cocoon for people when I do a smudging also, but I call on St. Francis and I call on to be an instrument of peace is what I asked for in my smudging, but very similar, I think. But actually, you said sometimes you use a spray with salt water.
I do. And so I steep a pot of hot water and I add salt And as it's cooling, I'll shove a sprig of white sage into it so it seeps like tea.
Oh.
And then when you're done and it's cool, you can put crystals into it. You can do anything you want to it. Then after, put it, you know, drain it and strain it so the sage doesn't go into it, but the essence of the sage does.
Mm-hmm.
And then put it in a spray bottle from the dollar store. And
you use some other things too that I hadn't used, like cedar, I think you mentioned.
Yep, cedar and sweetgrass.
Okay.
See, mine is sandalwood. My backup is sandalwood.
Ooh, now what does that do?
What I learned from a native friend of mine is sandalwood is considered like an amethyst of a benign scent. So Ooh. It can be used for anything. So my backup, if I don't have sage, is always sandalwood.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, me too.
And I love the smell. Oh, I love the smell of sandalwood.
Oh, that'd be refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to check into that. You mentioned crystals in the new book, Exe, and how you like to use crystals. Is there any certain ones that, or does it depend on the case?
It depends on the case, but I mean, because I use amethyst for me. That's my conductor. Quartz, I have pyramids of quartz. They're in that corner of the kitchen, pink, clear. They just resonate with me. Any of the blacks, stones to ward off evil, to ward off, just to protect.
Tourmaline.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I hate to use the word evil because everybody goes, oh yeah, you know, and it's like, no. You can be a dick without being evil. You know, you can.
That's why I say negative. I say negative.
Thank you. You know, they're just, they're like working with molasses and it doesn't make them evil. It just makes them dense. And
that's why I said I started using negative, the term negative. It's just,
yeah,
it's a totally negative feeling.
They're all like, oh, I have evil in my house. I'm like, no, you probably don't. Unless it's bad gas.
You know what, though? Don't. Yeah, I read that quote from the back of your book, and then do you think there is evil out there?
Yeah. I have taken care of evil, and I have I can't even think of the name of the thing I fought, and it was nasty, and I had to capture him in a stone, and I'll think of it in a second. Oh, he's Native American, Wendigo.
I was about to say Wendigo.
Oh, no.
And I had to take care of him. He was in a house in Royal Oak in somebody's basement. And he was already trying to kill the dog. He was going to, they had two bulldogs and he was working on killing the one, the male.
Probably kill it and eat it because they like human flesh, don't they?
They like blood. They like blood very, very much. They're carnivores. And so he was working on the dog. Then he was going to work on the husband, who the husband got extremely ill. A month after I cleansed the house, but the thing is gone. It wasn't going to kill the female bulldog because she was deaf and she didn't deserve his time. Wow. So I knew feeling that from him that I was dealing with ego and a big ego. So I knew that was my in. Ego is always an in. And so that was why I was told, don't go in with ego. And I was like, thank you for that. That was good sound advice. And I knew I'd capture it and I knew I had to get it out of the house. So he's trapped in the most beautiful smoky quartz crystal. I really wanted that thing for myself. It's like, you know, have you ever bought a birthday present for somebody that you wanted?
Yeah.
That's the way this felt. So he's buried in this trapped crystal about 3 miles from my house, about 2 feet deep in a field. Which I just found out they might make soccer fields out of. So I'm like,
oh no.
Oh,
but if they dig them up.
Oh, No.
What would happen?
Well, unless Mother Earth has taken care of him, which I had, that's why I buried him because I left it up to her to take him, cleanse him, release him, do whatever. She's stronger than me. It should be up to her. So he's a good 2 feet deep and he's closer to the road. So hopefully they will go that way with the digs and not here. Because I couldn't find him now. I could, and I don't want to. I go by there and I don't even think of him. It's like, nope, 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 big wall, big wall. But he was true evil. He wanted to kill them all. He was going to kill the wife next, and then the black cat Star, who was magnificent. She has since passed. All the dogs have. He was going to leave her to last, and he was going to let her starve to death because he thought that was her. That was fitting. But he was creating a minion too. So I had to go back to this place.
When they create something.
Ah, man, it was just this little pocket of black tar floating in the air. And I so saw him, but didn't see him. You know what I mean? I'm here, but I know there's something there, but man, I'm like not seeing it. So I went back and got him. I go in and I can go from here. They're probably 20 miles from me. So I go in from here and I hold up a mirror. So they can't see me. They see their own reflection. I sure in the hell didn't need him at my house. So I hold up a mirror. So all they see is themselves. So they don't think there's anything out of the normal. And so I looked and I'm like, oh, you little sucker. So before I went that next morning and collected this stone, I asked this smoky quartz, which if you'd asked me 5 years ago, if I was going to talk to rocks, if I'd have believed this, I'd have said, hell no.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to rocks and I asked this thing. I said, do you have room? Can you accept another entity? And it said, yes. So I created another well, like a lobster trap. It can go in, but can't come out. And this thing wasn't going there. And I'm like, I don't have time for you. So I grabbed it and started to stuff it down into the stone. And I'm checking in with the stone. You okay? I'm fine. It's saying, you know. It was done, sealed it, and I called my girlfriend, and I said, I'll be there. Give me 25 minutes, and I went down, collected it in a bag of white sand, sealed it, took it off the property, put it behind my car because I parked on the road, put medallions in four corners of the property. We sealed it, saged it, did everything. I put that thing in my car, and I called my husband. I was getting on the freeway by the Detroit Zoo. And I said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Meet me at the old Nike base. Bring a shovel. And he said, okay. And he hung up. And I was like, oh my God. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. I married the right man.
Yeah. What, did he think you were going to bury a dead body or something?
He didn't even ask.
There was no like, question. I'll be there.
No question. He's like, okay, click.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Can I give you a little tip if you have to deal with the Wendigo again?
Please.
A native friend, when I lived in New Mexico, told me this. The best way to capture them is in the stone like you did, but the best way to destroy them is throwing them in water. They drown and die.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I thought you had to burn them.
No.
No, water is the purest thing that they said that for the natives because it's constantly moving. So the best way to kill it when Wendigo is throwing it in the water because they don't like water. They hate water and they will drown.
Okay. Well, he's buried in deep sand and maybe the water table, because I know the water table comes and goes over there. So maybe, but sweet.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea.
I had interacted with a Wendigo in New Mexico. I mean, it was the weirdest experience. He was walking through the oldest, it's called Old Town Albuquerque. And he was just walking. And I was like,
uh-oh.
Wait a minute. And he looked like a golem in a way, because they're so weird looking.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is not... Like I did a double take. I was like, wait a minute. And my friend was like, what's going on? And the native that was selling had a blanket out and selling. She goes, I saw him too. She was like, I stopped and I was like, I looked at her and she goes, that was a Wendigo. We don't mess with them.
And she,
if they attack, then we will take care of them.
And they're not native down there.
Mm-mm. No, they're not. That's why the natives down there won't mess with them unless they attack somebody.
Wow, I wonder how it got there. Because the person that I had somebody that I knew was dealing with one in Tennessee, and I'm like, how in the hell did it get in Tennessee? It shouldn't be there either. And so I'd met years ago in Kentucky, Lexington, I met this healer, and I sent her to him, and he gave her like 6 pages of notes on what to do with this Wendigo. So I called her, I said, guess what I got? So she then sent me these pages of notes, and his thing was to bury it, but and to offer it back to Mother Earth. But I like the water. And I mean, I live.
It gets them back to her faster. It That's would. Where, because that later that me and that girl made friends, because of that, we made friends. Yes. I would go and visit her down at Old Town all the time. And I asked her, I said, where did you get this? Like for the Wendigo? And she goes, my grandmother was a shaman. And she goes, she's actually taken care of quite a few in this area, which is unusual. And she goes, but the hatred in the world within people's hearts are making them expand. Yeah. And she had a friend that lived in Europe. If I remember, it was Germany, and she actually encountered a Wendigo in Germany.
Wouldn't shock me there with all of that level of,
Your book, actually, you talk about working with shamans. What's with them? They're awful secretive. They don't want to give out their secrets.
They will give you what you need. And I never asked more because I thought, I've gotten what I need, and I thank them dearly. And I know it's not where I'm really supposed to go, maybe in the long run. If I get to my 90s, probably, yes, I'll have reached that. But yeah, they're fascinating, and their depth and the places they've gone that I
haven't. Are they on a higher level of consciousness?
Yeah, to a degree, a higher level of education, of learning, of information, of spiritualness. And, you know, I mean, Tanya is probably closer than I am to that from having been there and from lived in the area. You just kind of, it's like a seep. It just seeps in. And you know where you're supposed to go. And so that, because I've moved totally out of Reiki. I don't do that anymore. I did it. It was great. I learned. I did what I needed to do. And so I am kind of working in that direction because it's more of a holy feel, and that's not ego, it's centering. And I think that's kind of where I'm headed in that direction, because I'm, you know, at this age, I just want the center, and I want the peace, and I want to be able to deliver that and offer that, more of a sage sort of thing, which there is no ego in that. It's just, God, let me help you, because I can see it because I'm outside of it, and that is... Let it be a gift.
You know, talked about grounding in this book again. We've talked about it with you, and I think it seems to be an important thing. Do you have any advice for amateur ghost hunters? Any warnings or protection that they? What do you say to a young ghost hunter?
Don't go alone. Don't trespass. Go with permission. Go with spirit. Go with more than one person with you, because if you fall through a floor and you break your leg and you end up in a basement, you know, when are they going to find you?
Right.
So, you know, go protected, for Pete's sake. I mean, I brought stuff home. Stuff follows me all the time. It's like, oh, come on. And I think I'm protected. Well, they'll latch onto your luggage or onto your camera or your phone or, you know, so be careful. It's not a game. This is real. Mm-hmm. These are souls, and they need respect. They need to be treated with respect.
I think reverence is a good thing. Now, you're a minister. You think that helps? That plays into it?
I am a minister with a trucker mouth. So yes, you know, I am. And I don't hide it. And
I love it.
Hell, you know.
What kind of mouth?
You don't think I'm gonna drop the F-bomb on you? You like
I like your colorful language.
Yeah, you know, I am who I am, and I love the ownership, and it's like, all right, let's go forward now. But I'm also a Virgo, so I gotta be careful, because I will take people out on my way if I'm not careful, and I don't want to do that. But yeah, it's important. And it's important to cover, to protect, to be mindful, to be kind, but don't be walked on. You know, because that's education for them too. It's kind of like, oh, no, let's redo that because that was dumb. That was, you know, and I hate the word stupid. And I hate, you know, there's certain words I don't like, but I'll F-bomb you. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, so it's all subjective, I guess. But, you know, you get to a point and in the world, you get up in the morning and you wait to see where the world is today. So you know what you've got planned and you know what you'd like to have planned. And so then you've got to find the in-between in those. And hopefully you can do 10% of what you had planned for that day. Right. And for me, if I can, it's like, hey, all right, it was a great day.
Yeah. Kim brought up Vortex, asking about that. Is there, you know, how do you tell, what's the difference between Vortex and Portal?
For me, it's the same thing. For me, well, and it could be anywhere. But, and a lot of times for me, portals are in walls and vortexes are tornadoes. But that's just me and that's just the way I see them. I had a young man in Kalamazoo, very much a medium, and he didn't know what to do with any of this. And I couldn't figure out why there was a vortex in the wall in front of the toilet in his bathroom. Well, he'd go in there and he'd sit, not go into the bathroom, but he'd put the lid down and sit, and he'd sit like this and think. So he had his third eye into that wall. He opened that wall up to a vortex, and it was, so I go in there and I sit down and I'm looking at the wall. I went, I know what that is. That's his thinking wall. And he went in there to get privacy so his little brother wouldn't bug him and his parents wouldn't bug him. And so I sealed that and I had a conversation with him and I'm like, go outside. Don't do it in there. You're opening holes in walls you don't want, you know? So I said, now, go outside.
Exy, what would you call the two mirrors that kind of, you have two mirrors that face each other. You can see the mirror in one side and this mirror in this side. Would you consider that a portal?
That's infinity, you know? So yeah, you could do that. You could easily do that with infinity, and that'd be intense. That'd be very strong. So for me, I'd have to turn one of the mirrors because you've got to stop it. You've got to stop it somewhere. You got to stop the reflection somewhere, or you stop the reflection with you. You step in front of it to, and you have to be shielded because you have to block whatever is coming through that. That's risky because you don't want to take anything into you. So you have to be careful. When I did Reiki, I used to wear cuffs like Wonder Woman. So when I used my hands, nothing went above my wrists. I wouldn't absorb. So, you know, do kind of the same thing with that.
I've watched different places over the years where people have ghost hunted, and there's a pretty famous hotel in their lobby that has mirrors on one side of the wall versus the other side with a staircase going up through the middle of it. I can't remember the name of it's a pretty famous hotel. Like maybe it's called Stanley Hotel.
That would
maybe?
Be the one they did The Shining was written about.
Yeah. I think it's that particular one that they have the facing mirrors like that. And I always kind of wondered, does that open a portal?
Well, yeah, and it takes what is that? That it's called the spirituality of doing homes. It's the
feng shui.
Feng Shui says no, because you don't want that, because it's like, it's just energy pounding on energy.
Wow.
So you're going to either want to offset them. But if you've ever scried with a mirror, or we were in a location and I was in the attic and they had a big mirror on the floor. So I sat on the floor, faced the mirror at one end, and had the entire room behind me. Mm-hmm. And I cannot tell you the activity I saw in that mirror because they didn't think I could see them. It was so much fun. I will do
were
that.
They stuck in the mirror then?
Like, no, they were all behind me in the room. And it's like in the they're room. Back there and they're dancing around and they think I can't see them. They're all like, oh, look at that girl. She can't see me. And I'm sitting there watching them in their mirror over my shoulder. And it was the most fascinating.
Grant saw something in a scrying mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was me and, well, it was one that was made at the Hinsdale House as part of Haunt Me, the web series on YouTube. And me and like one of my team members at the time, we were both looking into it. We both got, as we were both staring into it, we both got the mental image of the American Gothic painting. Oh. That we're scrying.
It seems a little odd.
Like I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that painting. You know, that's the one where the guy's holding the pitchfork.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw that one in person in Chicago.
Yeah. So we both got that mentally. And I said, like, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that in the mirror right now. She's like, get out of here. I just saw that too. Like, we both got it like in our mind's eye as we were scrying.
Yeah. So I think there might be something in mirror. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now, absolutely.
In your new book, Dialogue with the Dead, page 58, you talk about dreams, and you say dreams, that's where you receive messages and lessons, and dreams can foretell the future. Is that with everybody or just your prophetic dreamer?
I am, but I think everybody works out their crap in a dream. It's how you subliminally work things out. It's easier, it's less taxing. You're there and your mind is just trying to ferret things out for you. I think it's a very, very important time. I tell people, keep a journal by your bed, keep a piece of paper and a pen, something. I mean, I'll wake up and it's 1:11, it's 2:22, it's 3:33, 4:44. I'll do that night after night. And it's like, I'm trying to get, I can't get the message here, so they're giving it to me numerically. So, you know, so pay attention to your dreams. I mean, I've had some dreams. I knew I was going to change careers. Well, so I went through a doorway facing backwards. I was in a rolling old secretary chair. I mean, like from the 50s. And they were pushing me backwards. And I went through these old hospital doors. And when I went banging through these doors, I came through facing another way. And I was like, I'm going to change where I'm going in life, because I mean, it was like, boom, it was so obvious to me, but it's not always that obvious. The other night I saw a snake in my dream and I was like, oh, don't do that. Cause there's somebody out there working against me, and I know there is. And I've known that for a while. So
oh, is that what a snake means? Somebody is plotting against you?
For me, it is snake in the grass.
Oh
yeah.
Usually, if it's a lot of times encountered, if it's a single snake, it's somebody working against you. If it's like multiple snakes, there's other things going on. You need to pay attention, wake up, and
yep, it was one, and I know who it is, and it's like,
wow,
it is what it is, you know. So I'm going to stay on my course and keep going, and let them know I know, you know. But it is what it is.
Do you have prophetic dreams too, Tanya?
Occasionally. Some of them I think are their prophecy, but then other times I'm like, what the heck were you talking about?
Yeah.
Like the other night I had this weird dream that I was a truck driver and I was like, what? But it's like the meaning will come to me sometime.
Maybe Kim, she's been changing careers lately. So maybe she's going to be a truck driver.
You know, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I've been a journaler since I was high school, and it's poetic journal. And I found out that I write these poems. They're for people who have died, but I write them in advance of the people dying. So when someone dies in our family, I get my poetic journal out and I look back a couple pages and try to find their poem that I figure I've written for them and didn't know it at the time.
Wow.
And then I read it at the funeral. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful though.
Yeah. So what a great book. This last one. I had to come back and help promote this. I love this cover. We talk about symbols, and this owl, when you were at the studio, you left and you saw an owl that night, the last time you were at the studio.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've been
different things to different people.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They've been around for a while and I've not noticed them. And then it was like, you know.
See, for me, we always notice them because the owl is my youngest daughter's spirit animal.
Oh.
And she's actually named after a a fictional owl.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you I talked about other things in the book, signs, crows, hawks, owls, and you totems is something you brought up again today. Could you kind of just explain totems?
Totems are spirit animals for you. They are for you. For me, they're for life, but I suppose they could come and go or step back, depending on the power you need at the time. But they do, they represent. Spiders are another one for me, which is like, really, can we pick something else?
But they all have spiders in your other book.
They have great meaning, and they're sturdy, strong web builders, planners, seekers, seers. They've been around forever, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. So then owls too, and owls have sight, and they're strong, and they're there, they're dependable. They see things that we don't see. So they have meaning, and if there's things you're drawn to or are drawn to you, chances are that's your totem, and you should pay attention to that.
Oh, I have a huge elephant mural in my living room because elephants are my spirit animal. Always have been. Always been drawn to them.
They're supposed to have some special meaning, luck, good luck or something.
Yeah.
Well, when their trunks are up.
Trunks up,
they're good luck. Okay. No, usually the meaning with the elephants is because they're matriarchal, female matriarchal. So it's strength. It's basically everybody turn like most time if you're the head, like when you're like showing the symbol of the head, like I interpret it as, even though my older sister is technically supposed to be the head of the family, spiritually I am the head of the family.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody seems to turn to me and ask me advice and come to me even before I even came out with my gifts. So I think she helps me keep me on my path. She also helps me to understand and find balance, to find my spiritual gift with my healing, with my healing gift.
Beautiful.
Well, yeah, I believe in those totems that you talk about. Page 121 in your new book, you say, spirits are around us always.
Always.
Woo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do a talk on that, and I'll bring it up, and I'm like, always. Yeah. And then you'll hear this titter. Oh, and yeah. It's like, yeah, always, sex, showers, whatever. They're there. If you don't want them there, block, send them away. And they're like, oh, not like they're writing a tell-all on you. And it's not going to show up at the Star tabloid. It's just, they're there, and it's not a bad thing. They're wonderful. I mean, I will bring them in. If I'm somewhere and I'm not comfortable, I surround myself with them and I ask them to help me, guard me, protect me. I bubble my family every morning.
You do that. You call on whoever, angels you use, spirit guides real strong with you. And I do the same thing when I smudge. I call on my people that are my guardian angels to help me, whoever is in my spirit realm to help me to pull this stuff off. I like how we kind of think similar. You're definitely one of our favorites, all-time guests.
Aw, thank you. I know, I love you guys. It's just easy.
This is always a blast. Hi. Yep. We need to move on. So I'm going to do a shout out to our last guest. That was JoJo Girard from 98.7. WFGR and Town Square Media. We talked about Gettysburg. And then shout out I want to do to our Australian connection. We haven't heard from those guys, Steve and Dylan, but Dylan sent me this right here in the mail. I just received this within the last week. It's all the prime ministers of Australia. And he sent me a postcard of a building here. This is one of the oldest theaters in Australia, which is also haunted. So shout out.
Oh, I just wanted, before you even said that, I got chills. I said, that's a story to tell.
You put that up, I went, oh. Well, and that's funny. My husband's Australian. So I saw the poster in the background. I was like, oh.
Yeah, because Dylan's into politics. And so I really think maybe someday he may be Prime Minister of Australia, who knows, or some kind of office, but it was good to hear from those guys. So shout out to those guys. Aww. And that's kind of it for my shout outs. Upcoming. Actually, you must have stuff. I know you have stuff on your calendar.
Oh, I do. I do. So we've got August, we got my Paracon up in the Sioux. And I'm doing a gallery.
August 25th through the 27th.
Yep. And I've got a few tickets left for the gallery. I'll be September 3rd, Festival of Oddities in Charlotte. And I am going to do a gallery there as well. I'll be in Library Row selling books and doing readings. October 1st, I'm going to do Willis House. That is sold out, but it'll be fun. We're going to do something else, Candy and I. Dearborn, October 8th, the Dearborn Historical Museum. I'm going to do a gallery and some readings there. That's really a neat place. I liked that a lot. It's cool. And I'm going back to Old Mill, November 12th. I'll be a presenter and I'll be doing readings. I'm really excited. I got a few more things in the works. The contracts aren't done, so we'll get to those. But I'm already booked like April and May of next year. So it's like,
excellent.
Come on. Yeah, nice. I'm excited. And I can't talk about them yet because they haven't advertised them yet, but you'll love them. So you got to stay tuned.
Okay. Brandon, you got anything planned? Anything upcoming?
I'm still working on scheduling some guests and stuff upcoming. I'm kind of in the middle of changing jobs, so I've been kind of trying to get that stuff all settled. I am going to be, at least out of personal one I might be able to talk to about in the future, is I'm going to be in the next couple weeks doing like a past life regression.
Ooh, so that'll be so much fun.
Those are so cool.
Yeah.
Who are you doing that with?
With Mary. Mary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
She'll do a great job.
Yeah.
Any more upcoming? Anybody want
to? No. Nothing much.
No, okay. I know I'm still working. I'm going to be, I have been so busy lately that I have, since I got back from my Paracon, that I do need to make a phone call and reach out to a few. Daylon from Ghost Brothers graciously agreed to definitely be joining us on one of our podcasts. So I have to reach out to him.
Yay!
They were so funny. I have a funny story about them. When I met them, I actually made a comment to Jawan. Yay, somebody that makes me feel short. And I asked him how tall he was, and he goes 6'3". And Daylon goes, how tall? And I was like, he goes 6'3". And I said, oh, I'm 6'1". And he goes, how tall? And I said, I'm 6'1". He pounds his fist on the table and storms off and pouts. And Jawan whispers to me going, he's always wanted to be 6 foot. I was like, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that. So it'll be fun to have them. They were hysterical to talk to.
They are fabulous. I agree.
And then when you have stuff that you want to put on the Facebook, make sure it gets to us. I saw some of your stuff and then I put it into our Facebook.
Yeah.
But if you got stuff going like that, you want to get it right into our Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Facebook.
Yep. Things got a little crazy and busy and I was trying to do 20 million things and it's like, I know I'm forgetting something. that Dory brain stuff. Kicks in and you forget.
Tory brain.
That to our Facebook. Me, ongoing is the 988 suicide hotline that goes into effect supposedly next month all across the nation. Most of your phone lines have that already, but there's some states we're dragging behind, but because we had over 2 million calls into the suicide hotline last year, this is going to help people get in touch when they need help.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So Ohio's still dragging their feet on that one. Get it done.
We're trying to figure out who's going to pay for it, some things. WKTV televises our show on Comcast Channel 25 and UVerse 99 twice a week. So we always look forward to that. And then I don't know, Brandon, do we have time for a final thought? We're running late.
Yeah, we probably should. We didn't get started recording, so we probably got a couple minutes.
Okay, we'll do a final thought. It's going to take a little bit of time.
Okay.
Exe, fortune cookies.
What?
We did something with this before, but who gets this fortune cookie? You're going to decide. Whose is this cookie, the first one?
Tanya.
This is Tanya's?
Yeah, she just kind of popped into my head.
Brenda, can you help open these? A friend's success will benefit you. I don't know. That could be.
I know who that's for.
Really?
Okay, my friend Jamie's mind, or my friend Jamie's head, or her name came in my head, and all she's right. just found out she has stage 4 breast or lung cancer.
Oh yeah, that very well.
And I have to go help her with some healing.
Yeah.
This one is not going to matter. Whose is this one?
This is you.
It's the same one. This one. So a friend's success will benefit me.
Mm.
Who's the next one?
Kim.
Kim's. People are waiting for cues from you.
Yep.
They are.
We don't know who, but.
I know exactly what that is.
Uh-oh. Oh, cool. Who's the next one?
Brandon. Let's do Brandon.
Brandon. A friend will be important to you and your forthcoming success. Brandon's got things in the works, so.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I think that was very well.
Brandon, you got some good choices coming, dude.
Yeah.
Exy. You don't have a fortune, Exy.
I'm good. Oh, it's empty?
Yeah.
Trust me.
Get another
one. Do you
know
how many times? Do you know how many times that has happened to me at Asian restaurants?
A lot too.
Really? Mm-hmm. I never had that happen.
That has never happened to me.
Oh my gosh, that's happened to me so many times.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of fun.
I take that as a good sign.
Okay, good.
That I'm where I should be.
Mm-hmm. The next thing is the inspirational thought, and then the show is over. And the inspirational thought, I kind of think that you're magical, Exy. I really think you are.
Thank you.
The quote comes from one of the smartest guys that ever lived, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. His IQ was rated one of the highest people that ever lived. Of course, the smartest people in the world are women. Two women are the smartest women in the world, but we don't want to mention that, do we? No. Actually, I think you are very magical. So this is from Wolfgang. Magic is believing in yourself. If you can do that, you can make anything happen. So people out there, believe in yourselves. That's where the magic lies.
You are correct. Thank you.
Peace out. Good to see everybody.
Thanks.
Great to see you. Thank you, everybody, so much. Thank you.
Ah.
Bye.
Bye.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Bizon Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.